If you shop at Amazon, I have a request. When you shop at Amazon, don't go to Amazon.com. That sounds weird. How are you going to shop at Amazon if you don't go there? Well, don't go directly there. Start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. When you go there, there's a giant Amazon logo. Click on it. It takes you right to the Amazon homepage where you were heading anyways, but that small detour tells Amazon, we sent you there. And when they get that message, they send us a commission on everything that you buy. So it's a great way to support us without having to do anything different other than when you shop at Amazon, start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you for downloading the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. Don't forget, you can get these shows with the ads and plugs and commercials all edited out on our special VIP audio feed with a VIP membership. That applies to all four shows that I host during the week, the Wade Keller Post Shows and podcasts later in the week, and also all seven PW Torch livecasts, plus all of our VIP exclusive shows throughout the month. There's about 100 of them. I host about 12 per week that are VIP exclusive. The Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, post-pay-per-view roundtables, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, and the Fix with Todd Martin. We got a bunch of other great content. Check out full details at pwtorchvipinfo.com. That's pwtorchvipinfo.com. Yes, all the VIP podcasts, including the ad-free versions of this show, are compatible with popular podcast apps on both iPhone and Android. You can also stream the shows right from our ad-free VIP website, which is mobile-friendly and desktop-friendly. So check out details if you want to support us and get these shows ad-free and a ton of other VIP-exclusive podcasts. That's pwtorchvipinfo.com for more details. We've got a mobile-friendly sign-up form. You can be VIP in about 2 minutes. Go for it. pwtorchvipinfo.com.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE SmackDown Live.
So Greg, how about the payoff to the Milwaukee Mystery? Was that an escape hatch or a brilliant ending to a well-devised storyline? What's your take?
I think we all knew something like that was going to happen, that that the footage was not quite doctored by Aiden English last week, but he certainly stopped it short of giving the complete picture of what Lana was about to say. So I think this was probably the direction people anticipated after last week's show. That being said, I don't think it was a bad segment. I think it got Aiden English over as a heel, against Rusev and Lana as two baby faces. And to be honest, this is the most interesting Aiden English has been in a long time, even as the singing part of Rusev Day. So if this develops into any kind of meaningful Rusev Aiden English feud, I think that's a step in the positive direction.
And on the bright side, if Lana ever does get tired of Rusev Day, I mean, she's got another place to go. I mean, that, I think that is one of the reasons she stayed with Rusev, is concern that no other man would ever want her.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a big concern of Lana.
I guess Aiden's just like, just in case. And then he runs away. Yeah, I mean, a lot went into that. I think obviously nobody thought Lana would have been somebody who would say yes to him. The dynamic between Lana and Rusev certainly didn't suggest that. I thought that English playing a little more of the video so that it suggested that, well, it didn't suggest, it showed that he was making a move on her in order to try to create even more distress after how Rusev didn't seem to trust Lana last week, and make Rusev feel like he even had more of a reason to need to know what happened between them was good. I thought hacking Aiden English's account to steal the video with Lana saying, yeah, I heart Rusev, of course we knew that would be her password. It's a little silly, but it also, I thought, is pretty funny because English played that up a lot, that he wanted Rusev to drop Lana and reunite them as a team. So, yeah, I thought it played out okay. I think the downside is it didn't play out as like a main event angle, not that it even began as one. But if you're going to turn Rusev babyface, it does seem like you want to have some momentum in that regard. And I'm not sure that the tone of this exactly set him on a mission to be a more serious player. But My hunch is he'll do the house show circuit. Rusev will win those matches. He'll get a pay-per-view win or a TV win. And then you know, Rusev will move on to bigger and better things. And I think Aiden English has done a good job, and he'll end up a mid-carder for a while longer, not just dropped.
Yeah, and I think that the kind of funny, on the download, the funny part of this is usually the way this kind of storyline goes is Aiden tries to break these two up in order to get with Lana. That would be the normal direction of a feud like this, because he has the hots for her. She's a beautiful woman. He would be after her, and he's trying to break these two up to get with her. Instead, he's trying to break them up so that Rusev will stay with him as a tag team partner. So, you know, I think that's kind of a bit of an understated humor going on here. But, yeah, certainly not a main feud or anything like this, but Rusev Day as a team has not been necessarily a main event team either. Aiden English has always, with this character, had a certain ceiling. And with the material he's given, he's gotten a lot farther in the last few weeks than I expected. And, you know, this storyline has some serious juice behind it right now. And that's not something I necessarily expected a couple weeks ago. With the breakup, WWE has taken a lot more time and they've paid a lot more attention to this breakup than I thought they would, given how they basically had to be pushed kicking and screaming into pushing Rusev to begin with.
All right. Yes, I think the craftsmanship of this week was better, too, than last week. I thought that they actually put a little extra time into trying to come up with explanations for it, and the twist you mentioned of English wanting to be with Rusev, not Lana. Although, you know, he threw out the Lana thing, just in case, you know, trying that as his B plan. So I thought this was fine. All right, let's set the table here. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. We're following the Tuesday, October 9th, 2018 edition of WWE SmackDown. We are on. We are reviewing show number. Greg, do you know what show number this is?
999.
How did you know that?
Well, WWE did a pretty good job of fitting in a push for SmackDown Live 1000 in between Crown Jewel and Evolution and talking about Super Showdown and everything else they have to plug, Mixed Match Challenge. So they were able to sneak in a couple mentions of SmackDown 1000 next week.
So the voice you just heard is mathematician Greg Parks, who subtracted one from 1,000 and came up with show 999. Greg Parks, a longtime Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter columnist and also host of PW Torch Livecast's very own Wrestling Night in America every Sunday night. We'll talk more about that as Greg talks about big events, past and future, on that show with live calls with a live format just like this. Hope you're checking that out on Sunday nights at pwtorchlivecast.com, 8 Eastern, right, Greg?
8 Eastern it is.
Yep. And also, of course, available by downloading it after the fact. You can subscribe anywhere you listen to the Wade Keller Post Show. You can also subscribe to the PW Torch Livecast lineup. 7 shows covering different topics each week, all professional wrestling, of course. Although one actually is MMA. But it's MMA talk for a pro wrestling fan, so it's a hybrid. And that that is available just by searching PW Torch or Pro Wrestling Torch in any podcast app. If one doesn't work, just try the other, PW Torch or Pro Wrestling Torch. So we're here to talk SmackDown, and we're here to take your phone calls and get your perspective on things in this first segment. We have plans to talk to an on-site correspondent from Indianapolis, Indiana, in our next segment, and then we'll close out the show answering your emails. First, our email address, wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. That's wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. Or you can get in line on the phones right now, 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. How many ways can I say that? 347-215-8558. Give us a call. Push 1 on your keypad if you want to be on the show. Otherwise, we won't bring you onto the show. We get a little marker on our switchboard that tells us that you pushed 1. Otherwise, we don't want to put you on the show if you're just kind of eavesdropping and waiting to maybe decide if you want to be part of the show. In fact, we'll reward 313 for taking good directions there, because it looks like 313 just pushed 1 when I gave that instruction. So 313, you will be the first caller, and we'll take calls for the next few minutes. I have not had the chance to talk about Harry's Razors in a while, but they're back as a sponsor of the program, and I'm happy to endorse this product. It is my razor of choice now, and I highly recommend you check it out if you shave. Harry's razors are great. The packaging that they come in, the craftsmanship of what you hold in your hand, the balance, the sense of quality, is all important when you're putting something sharp up against your skin, and you want it to feel good and leave your skin feeling good, but also accomplish its task of giving you a clean shave. Harry's does all of that. It's got a smooth, comfortable glide. It just feels right in your hand. Those cheap plastic razors or the imitations out there that try to look fancy and you overpay for don't have the same feel. Harry stands behind the quality of their blades, but they know switching razors isn't an easy decision, so they created a trial offer. And you can claim yours by going to harrys.com/pwtorch. That's right, harrys.com/pwtorch to redeem your offer. You can redeem your trial set at harrys.com/pwtorch. You get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. Weighted ergonomic handle, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, a travel blade cover, all in pretty cool packaging. And if you end up liking Harry's, well, you can save money in the long run because by selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's can offer their blades at a price much lower than the leading brand, just $2 per blade compared to $4 or more. So check it out. Go get your free $13 value trial set with everything you need at harrys.com/pwtorch.
Hey, PW Torch fans, it's Sam Roberts, the last professional broadcaster, here to tell you about my podcast, Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast. Every Thursday morning on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on YouTube, NotSam.com, wherever you get podcasts, you will find it. Interviews with the A-list of pro wrestling, whether it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, just recently Corey Graves, Mauro Ranallo. They're all guests of Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, as well as regulars like Dan Soder and one of my favorite people to talk about pro wrestling with, Wade Keller. Plus, every week we do a deep dive and analyze what's going on in the world of pro wrestling this week. With the state of wrestling, Bruce Pritchard calls it the best interview in wrestling podcasts. I don't know if that's true, but that's what Bruce Pritchard says. Subscribe now. Get it every Thursday morning across podcast platforms or get the premium version at Stitcher.com/NotSam.
313, as promised, you're first up. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Matt from Detroit. What's up, Wade?
Not too much. Just hanging out watching SmackDown and now talking about it with you guys. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. You just reeled me in there. You told me to press one, so I said, what the heck?
All right, good. What did you think of SmackDown? What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, well, I called before, probably a few weeks ago, because I was really loving the Daniel Bryan Miz stuff. And I just really love the Miz and the AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan interaction in the ring. I liked how as soon as they started to call him out, he just got on an apron and started to do his little spiel. I thought that was great.
What else did you like or not like?
That was, like, pretty much the best part. I mean, you know, they had the Charlotte and Becky stuff in the beginning.
Yeah.
I really like Charlotte. I hate how they're doing everything right now with the Charlotte-Becky stuff, of course, like everybody else, because they kind of – booing Charlotte, and I really love Charlotte, so I hate seeing that, but I still like them, you know, all of their series of matches that they've been having and everything so far.
Yeah. All right, cool. Greg, you want to comment on either of those, and then I can respond too.
This was, you know, taken as a whole, and I'll talk about the pieces that were brought up here. This was a lot cleaner episode of SmackDown, I thought, than in past weeks. There was a lot less going on, a lot more time to be able to digest the big things that were going on. You had the Charlotte Becky Lynch match and everything surrounding it that took up the first half hour. You had a clear focus on the WWE World Cup matches that were taking place, including some nice video packages. Short but effective, and that's nice to see every once in a while to really redefine or define the characters that we're seeing on TV every week. So, you know, the nonsense or the, you know, there wasn't any New Day here. There wasn't any R-Truth. The drama and the soap opera aspects were kept to a minimum with Aiden and Rusev and Lana. So overall, I thought this was a better episode of SmackDown than we've gotten the last few weeks. Charlotte Becky Lynch, I thought was a good match at times. At other times, specifically before the first commercial break, I thought they had a little trouble getting going. There were times where it felt a little choreographed in that one was trying to get in position for another, and they were off on the timing a little bit. But I thought as the match wore on, they got better, and they were given quite a lot of time. Usually when you see a major match like that, a title match, something that's been hyped for days, and it starts the show, that's a signal to the viewer that something is going to happen in that match that will lead to it being revisited later on in the show. And usually it's a very quick deal. So when this match spanned two commercial breaks, it sort of broke that mold, and it made the viewer pay attention a little more, at least this viewer. And, you know, the non-finish, I think, was probably expected because I know a lot of people predicted Charlotte versus Becky Lynch at Evolution, and that's what we're getting in a Last Woman Standing match. The visual of Charlotte spearing Becky Lynch into the video board was spectacular, and it did not come without cost because Charlotte came up bleeding from the wrists after that. So it was memorable. They revisited it throughout the show, really hammered it home. So I thought they did a real nice job making that something important that needed to be remembered throughout the show.
I thought it was interesting starting the show with Charlotte and Becky already in the ring and going right to ring announcements. It felt different. I noticed a different camera angle. They did the videos of the wrestlers before the World Cup matches. The whole show had a little bit of a different vibe to it than usual. And it was pronounced when they dedicated nearly the first half hour to the Charlotte Becky match, gave them the time that I was kind of hoping that they would get at Super Showdown. And yeah, I agree with you. Some clunky spots. That's just kind of par for the course of Charlotte matches. I think she makes up for it in other ways, but there's, you know, those moments that the announcers are even drawing attention to, like Corey Graves on the catapult going, Becky, you know, Charlotte didn't get all of it. And it sort of looked like Becky had to actually propel herself. And announcers, you know, try to draw attention to that to cover for it a little bit. But I like the continuation and the announcement of a Last Woman Standing match. The brutality. Do you think Charlotte really bled, or do you think her hand was like made up with some red coloring because it was sticking through the wall there for a weird amount of time while she lay on top of Becky?
I think that was real, and the fact that they almost cut away as soon as they realized that the camera was showing blood on her hand tells me that's something they didn't really want to show if they didn't have to. So I think it was probably real.
But if you wanted people to think it real and it wasn't, then that's what you would do.
I know. It's crazy. Once you get into that circle, man, it's hard to get out of it.
It is. Well, we'll try to find out. I mean, they did note she was medically cleared for mixed match challenge, so that is good. Anyway, well, let's go to some more calls here, and we'll go to 803 next. 803, thanks for calling. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, guys. It's Joseph from Columbia, South Carolina again.
Hey, Joseph. Good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
I'm really enjoying the Bryan Styles Miz trifecta going on. I'm just wondering if you guys think that there's a reasonable chance that Styles loses in the near future. Because to me, the way he went through Nakamura and Joe, it doesn't seem like, as much as I love Bryan and the Miz, that they'll pose a threat to him unless they decide to do a triple threat match sometime in the future. So do you think that he can hold the title until he eventually passes CM Punk's 434-day reign as WWE champion? Because it seems like Vince, from everything we've heard, loves Styles. So is there a chance of him losing the title in the near future?
Greg, what do you think? They're certainly mentioning the 300-plus days a lot now, which makes me think that could be an issue as they go forward. It could also be a way to set the stage for, well, it was a good reign while it lasted. So I guess you could look at it either way.
I was really surprised that he walked out of Australia with the title. I thought that was a time to put the title on Samoa Joe. I thought it would have extended the Joe-Styles feud, which I thought still had some legs to it. And putting the title on Joe would have extended it further. And we saw tonight that Samoa Joe not advancing in the World Cup tournament due to the leg injury suffered in storyline against AJ Styles in Australia, Jeff Hardy advancing over him tonight. You know, I think that Styles can hold it in for a while. I really do. There have been times where if WWE really wanted to take the title off him, they could have, and they haven't. They've stuck with him. So Daniel Bryan is going to be an interesting case because it's clear that the Bryan Miz feud is not done. So one would suspect either way, this is kind of a stopover for Daniel Bryan against AJ Styles. Now that stopover could include Daniel Bryan winning the title from AJ Styles and defending it against The Miz, who basically laid claim to facing the champion after their match in Saudi Arabia. So Bryan versus The Miz for the title would just take that feud to another level. However, you know, if it also makes sense for The Miz to interfere and cost Daniel Bryan the match so that he doesn't win the title, and then maybe The Miz and AJ Styles have a title match somewhere along the way. So I think AJ keeps the title for a while. I don't think he loses to Daniel Bryan here. I think Bryan is in the conversation maybe early in 2019 to get the title at some point. I don't think they've ruled him out. I know that when I talked to Mike McMahon this past week on Wrestling Night in America, he kind of wondered whether WWE would trust Bryan from a physicality standpoint to be their champion, because he's been put in that position before and injuries have befallen him. And, you know, would WWE trust him to physically hold up as champion? Especially with Bryan on somewhat of a different schedule, a little more limited schedule than the other wrestlers. I don't really think that would be something holding him back. So I'm more in the camp of I do think he gets the title at some point, probably in 2019.
Yeah, my leaning right now is AJ keeps it and breaks Punk's record. I think Randy Orton is being set up as a possible top heel opponent for Styles that they can go to after they finish whatever they're doing with Bryan and Miz. I wouldn't rule out Bryan winning. I think Bryan made a good case for this being the reason he came back, you know, expressing the style, standing up and saying, I never said what my dream was that drove me to return, but it's to become WWE World Heavyweight Champion again. So, you know, I think Bryan created believability, and I like that we don't know. You know, I like that we can look at both scenarios.
Yeah, and my question to you, Wade, is why do you – if Styles does keep the title and breaks Punk's reign – is it because of the pettiness of WWE that they don't want CM Punk to have
sorry.
That?
There's two options.
Oh, okay.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, my other option was WWE just has this belief in AJ Styles that he is the standard bearer of SmackDown and he deserves to be the champion. He deserves to be, as he calls it, the face that runs the place. And they have that much confidence in him where they think, yeah, he deserves to be champion. And, you know, let's keep the title on him. Or if they just want to get rid of Punk.
I'll put it this way. I don't think they would keep the title on AJ Styles to break Punk's record if they didn't believe in option B. But I also think that if they wanted to move on from AJ Styles, even if they have tons of respect for him because they think it would be best for storylines, but they're within a few months of breaking Punk's record, I think that would factor in.
That would be the incentive to keep the title on him.
I think it would be an incentive. They would not do it if it was bad for business. But if they're looking at it going, well, we could keep it on AJ, and do we have? Can we fill out a few more months? And he goes, yeah. And if you know, if we do that, it'll break Punk's record. And Vince goes, ah, let's do it then. You know, like, but it would be a sort of a toss up. But if they didn't think AJ was good for business, I think they would have him drop the title and not worry about the Punk thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right, Joseph. Anything else for us?
My follow up was going to be about whether you thought Randy Orton was being set up as the next big heel for him, but you already got it. You addressed it. You're on top of it as always. So thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks for calling, Joseph.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other pro wrestling media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at pwboom.com. Once again, that's pwboom.com.
All right, let's go to 408 next. 408, thanks for calling. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, it's Antonio from Hayward, California. How's it going?
Going well. Thanks for calling, Antonio. What's on your mind?
So, it's kind of weird. I have a problem with the format for the show tonight. I felt like ending the show with Orton and Big Show seemed kind of anticlimactic.
The World Cup, Antonio. The World Cup.
I understand.
We're finding out who the best in the world is. All right, go ahead. Sorry. I interrupted your flow. Go ahead. With sarcasm.
I'm actually very excited about World Cup. Like, I like when they do tournaments like that. I used to be a huge fan of King of the Ring. I like the G1. I like anything like that that don't really require storyline. Just like just try to figure out who's the best. I like that kind of motivation for the wrestler to get in a tournament. But I just think they could have put maybe a better match together for main event, or maybe put the Miss TV to end the show. I just wanted your take on that, or maybe even the Becky Charlotte match to main event. Wanted your thought on that.
Yeah, Greg, what do you think of the match positioning? I mean, they don't always put the biggest segment at the end. And I think in a way they wanted to let people know we're not going to just start SmackDown with a talking segment every time. Yeah. And they also, by putting Becky Charlotte on sooner, it gave them the chance to make the announcement of the Last Woman Standing match. Yeah. And Big Show hasn't wrestled on TV for a while, and Orton's getting a big push. So I don't. To me, I was okay with it. But I see where Antonio's coming from, especially if you like things to kind of progress to the most important match and end on a note that, you know, with my joke about the World Cup notwithstanding, that feels main event worthy.
Yeah, I can see it both ways. Becky Lynch and Charlotte, I think, is a match that was worthy of main event positioning for a number of reasons. And, even if the match playing out the way it did, I thought would have been a sufficient main event. Maybe they didn't want to do the count out finish in the main event. I don't know. Although ending with the big spear through the Videotron would sort of negate that the bad taste left in the fans' mouth by doing that sort of finish. But like you said, I like the change up of even Becky and Charlotte not getting entrances, and people will look down on that and think that maybe the talent was disrespected by not getting entrances. But it's just a little different touch. It's a different way to start the show. And when you're doing 52 weeks of television a year and you've got Raw and SmackDown, changing things up even a little cosmetically like that is going to help. And so I really didn't have a problem with the way things lined up. But if your argument is Becky Lynch versus Charlotte was the biggest match on the show, probably should have been main event. That's tough to argue to.
One thing I liked about Becky and Charlotte being on earlier in the show instead of the end, and it doesn't mean it has to open up the show, but if it's not the main event, we don't know when the match is going to end. And yeah. I like that. I miss, pay-per-views, it's open-ended, because we don't have that hard three-hour window anymore. Not that they always ended at the top of the hour at 11 Eastern, even when they, had the three-hour window, but often they butted up against it, and you kind of knew it wouldn't go past. With Raw, you have the, you don't know. It hits 11 o'clock, and you're like, okay, the match could end in 2 minutes or 13 minutes. It'll probably be 5 or 6, but who knows? And here with the show, with the match at the beginning, I was watching and I'm like, man, this has gone like 10, 12 minutes. How long is this going to go? Are they going to go 45 and try to make this this huge, memorable statement match? Or are they at least going to give them 20 minutes? And I didn't know when it was going to end. So that's one of the kind of side effect benefits of shaking up the format a little bit. Antonio, anything you want to respond to or add or change topics?
Yeah, I wasn't really That said, on having Becky or Charlotte close the show, I would have been okay with Miss TV. I just felt like, oh, Randy Orton and Big Show, I could probably just turn this off now, and I can, if I really care, I can probably find out the result later on. But I don't really care to watch that match if I had something better to do. So this is kind of my take on it. And I do have one more question for you guys. It's not related to SmackDown. It's about Evolution.
Yeah.
Do you have faith in them kind of put... how do you say it, like, an enticing enough of storylines for the show?
You don't need a story. Hey, Antonio, I'm sorry to interrupt you again. I don't usually do this, Antonio, but I got to interrupt. You don't need a storyline when you have Ric Flair, Batista, Randy Orton, and Triple H standing in the ring together. You don't need a storyline. Those are four gigantic stars. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Wrong Evolution.
Shoot. Sorry. This is bad overlap of branding. Totally unintentional. SmackDown 1000 Evolution reunites within weeks of Evolution pay-per-view.
Yeah, you would think they could pick a better name for the show. But what's your take on moving forward with less than a month to build the first ever all women pay-per-view, and we only have one match book? Technically, we have all the women title on the line, like NXT UK, NXT Women, SmackDown, and Raw Women's title, but there's virtually, besides Charlotte and Becky, there's virtually no other match besides beside that.
I think with
I guess we have Ronda and Nikki,
yeah,
and the tag match, but there's not really a whole lot of buildup, and it seems like we're running out of time.
I don't think we're running out of time. I know what you're saying, but we're just the first show's right after Super Showdown. We have a big angle with Ronda and Nikki. We have the big angle with Trish and Lita, and then Mickey and Alexa. And then tonight we have a big match with Becky and Charlotte, with Paige announcing a Last Woman Standing match Revolution. I think the pace is fine. I think you're going to fill out the undercard appropriately, and you've got how many episodes of SmackDown before that? Do we have three or just two? But two or three episodes before Evolution takes place. So, Greg, I think the pacing is fine.
Yeah, we're in this time period where the last few weeks WWE is trying to serve a lot of masters on TV with what they're plugging and what they're pushing. And now with Super Showdown out of the way, I think Evolution can come into a little clearer focus. The undercard isn't, you know, I'm curious as to how they build some of the matches on main roster TV, because if the NXT UK women's title is going to be defended, I'm not sure if that's one of the ones that's going to be defended, but the NXT women's title will be defended, and the finals of the Mae Young Classic will take place at Evolution 2. And I'm wondering if those women will appear on main roster television to help hype those matches, or if they're just going to leave that to NXT TV because there's so many other things, whether it's Crown Jewel, whether it's the World Cup, whether it's you know, whatever else that WWE needs feels they need to hype, if that's going to be left to the secondary television shows to hype, and they won't make it to Raw and SmackDown. So that's going to be something I'm going to be watching closely over the next few weeks as the Evolution hype does get into overdrive.
And with the headline making situation in Saudi Arabia with the Washington Post journalist apparently killed, Saudi officials denying it, but more reports coming out, including U.S. intelligence intercepting conversation from Saudi Arabia that they were planning to off this journalist. I'm paraphrasing here the details of it, but because the news was kind of breaking during SmackDown here. But you have one of the Connecticut senators talking about how this changes the relationship now. If shown to be true, that this changes the relationship between, well, here's the quote, Chris Murphy of Connecticut: "It should represent a fundamental break in our relationship with Saudi Arabia if the Turkish allegation of murder is true." This Washington Post journalist who spoke out against the Saudi government. And you have even Vice President Mike Pence saying, deeply troubled to hear reports about Saudi Arabian journalists. And if true, it's a tragic day. Violence against journalists across the globe is a threat to human freedom of the press and human rights. The free world deserves answers. This could turn out to be something where it's out of WWE's hands, you know, that the U.S. government just says, you're not going over there until we kind of figure out what's going on here. Yeah, I think it's created an awkwardness. I think we heard the word Saudi Arabia fewer times tonight than we would have had this situation not come up in the headlines. There's a Washington Post report saying, before his disappearance, U.S. intelligence agents intercepted communications of Saudi officials discussing a plan to capture him, according to a person familiar with the information. So it's a story that's evolving. But, I mean, my hunch is Crown Jewel takes place no matter what, but it may end up moving to the United States if this situation if the situation goes one way. I mean, this could fade, or it could increase exponentially in coming days. But I mean, it felt to me like they weren't saying Saudi Arabia a lot. Like, we hear Crown Jewel the last 2 days more than the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, other than Paul Heyman's promo, where I don't know if he was trying to be ironic mentioning it three times with volume with everything going on. But this story is gaining steam even tonight. And with Linda McMahon and the Trump administration, I don't even know how that complicates things. Greg, any thoughts on that at all?
Yeah, I think it would take significant political pressure on WWE for them not to hold the show. I don't see any situation where they themselves back out and say, hey, this is too hot for us. We are not going to touch this. I think it would have to be some kind of political decision made above their heads that say, hey, we're not doing business with Saudi Arabia until we get this cleared up. I think their hand would have to be forced for them not to go over there and do this show.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, there's a chance. I mean, if it felt like a safe.
And I don't know if that's the right. And I'm not saying that's I don't know if that's the right thing or not. Right, I don't know, you know, if WWE should say on their own, say, you know, we're going to leave this money aside and, you know, this is a kind of a scary and dangerous situation that we don't want to be a part of. I don't know if it should be up to them to say that and if that would be the right decision as a corporation for them to make. It's certainly not an easy one.
No, and I mean, you know, it might – what if there's some talk in the locker room and Daniel Bryan and – text John Cena and then John Cena texts, you know, I mean, you know, it could, I don't know who the more politically conscious people are in the locker room necessarily, but a powerful figure like John Cena, who's got to worry about his reputation and does it make him look bad if he's, you know, being cheered in Saudi Arabia while this situation's going on, or are there kind of conscientious objectors to even going over there at this point, or just people legitimately fearing for their safety? I don't know. You know, like I said, it's a relatively fresh story, and I have no idea in 48 hours where we are going to be on it. But when you have a Connecticut senator tweeting about it, and it's the home state for WWE, and I haven't checked, but I think WWE is the only American touring entertainment company scheduled to run a live entertainment event in Saudi Arabia in the next month. So you have a Connecticut senator, you have Linda McMahon in the administration, and you have VP Mike Pence texting. It's become a story. It's become something that could absolutely affect WWE. But we'll see. I mean, it's weeks away, and we have a lot more to hopefully learn about this situation. So it's something to keep an eye on, but that actually could end up affecting how much attention Evolution gets, because TV may intentionally be written to give a little more attention to the women and a little bit less to the men's lineup, depending on how this kind of plays out right now. Anyway, Antonio, thanks for the call. Let's try to zip through a couple more calls here, and then we'll get to our on-site correspondent. We'll go to 706 next. 706, thanks for calling. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, Wade. Hey, Greg. It's Brandon from Athens, Georgia. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, thanks. Thank you for calling, Brandon from Athens.
Cool. Well, I think I echo Greg's sentiments from earlier that I think SmackDown overall, it was not amazing, but it was more decent than usual. I think the best segment of the night was the Miz TV segment. I thought it was interesting how Miz pretty much told the truth when he said that Styles has never defended the title in the main event at a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting that was acknowledged. And so my question to you guys is, because this is acknowledged, do you think there's a chance that their match actually main events Crown Jewel? Thanks for taking my call, Reid.
Sure. Thanks, Brandon. I think that the fact that they drew attention to it not main eventing makes it more likely to main event, but I still have the odds very low that Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, and Braun Strowman doesn't main event Crown Jewel. Greg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if this were a normal pay-per-view, I would say there's a pretty good chance that this could main event. But like you said, when you've got Brock Lesnar on the show and when you've got presumably The Undertaker and Kane against Triple H and Shawn Michaels in Shawn Michaels' return match, I think that has a better chance of main eventing than Styles and Daniel Bryan as well. So under normal circumstances, you wouldn't have those big names returning for a pay-per-view, but we know that these Saudi Arabia shows are not normal circumstances, so I think it would be hard for Styles and Bryan to break through above those two matches.
I wonder, too, I won't say who, but a wrestler messaged me during this show asking me what happens to everybody's paydays if the Saudi show Crown Jewel were to get canceled or moved. I mean, if it got canceled, then they're out paydays. If it got moved to the United States, they're not getting the Saudi money. And, you know, Shawn Michaels, John Cena, Undertaker, John Cena's not flying from China for its standard payday. Undertaker, I don't think, wants to knock one of the matches off his very limited set of remaining matches. Brock Lesnar wants what he was promised. Shawn Michaels coming out of retirement for a house, you know, basically a house show. You know, that broadcast on WWE Network. So, again, we're getting a little ahead of things here, but veteran wrestler just texted me and asked me, what happens to the paydays? And I don't know. So, interesting. But, yeah, I mean, it'd be a great gesture if AJ and Daniel Bryan headline that show, wherever it is, ahead of Brock, Reigns, and Lesnar. And I think, and Strowman. I mean, WWE at some point wants to send a message that that the younger guys and the full-time guys, and by the way, Brock's not a full-time guy. Roman and Braun are. But Undertaker and Kane and Triple H and Shawn Michaels aren't full-time guys. At some point, it's good for business to send a message that the week in and week out, 300-plus day defending champion who built built SmackDown, the house that's I'm screwing up AJ's simple phrase. Mark for edit. The house that AJ built. And Daniel Bryan, like it'd be nice for them to maybe get the symbolism of being the final match on the show. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can really make a difference in how people are perceived. And I think it has hurt the WWE Championship that they keep putting him on the mid card. I was surprised Miz brought it up, and I thought it was a really good segment. Miz, Bryan, and Styles. I thought it was pretty compelling, and I thought Styles was true to himself. Bryan was true to himself. It was newsworthy. It made me want to see the match. Miz was a great instigator, and kept it quote interesting while calling it boring, which was ironic and funny, and he ended up in a self fulfilling way, kind of made it true. So I think it is a match that could headline, but. The weird part is I think it's more, well, I don't know if it's weird. I think it's more likely to headline if the show gets moved. I think Saudi Arabia officials decide match order on these shows, just like they decide or have great influence over matches and who appears.
Man.
Yeah.
Hard to believe, but that's the era we're in.
Well, if somebody there is a big AJ and Daniel Bryan fan, one of the family members, then maybe it does headline and Vince is interested. Who knows? All right. Let's see. All right, Brandon, anything else?
No way. That'll about do. I appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah, appreciate it. Call again. All right, let's go to 585 next. Thanks for calling. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Wayne Greg. It's David Miller from Canandaigua, New York.
David, good to hear from you again. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Wade. I'm not sure. You know, I've been kind of flip-flopping from week to week on the whole Becky-Charlotte dynamic here, and I don't know if it was my home state of Indiana or not, but I did seem to hear a few more boos for Becky this time around, and you know, a smattering of cheers for Charlotte. And I think maybe, and I know I've said this before, but I think maybe they might be onto something now with Becky, because a good friend of mine several years ago who used to, he was a protege of sorts for Les Thatcher, once said that what makes a heel is that he or she cannot beat their opponent without, you know, without, they're not as good as their opponent without cheating or something. And the whole reason that the fans latched on to Stone Cold Steve Austin back in the day was this. He was a badass, and everybody likes a badass, but nobody likes a coward. Nobody likes a coward, and that's what Becky's been doing the last couple of times. She's been trying to take the coward's way out and leave with her belt, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I actually noticed a few dudes when she did that this time around. And I think if they were to keep booking her in that manner, you know, they might be able to pull this off. What do you think?
Yeah, Greg, I'm watching this and it's interesting because I wonder if the fans, I thought this in Australia too, are they booing Becky or are they booing the booking?
Yeah, it's hard to tell sometimes. And this is where the announcers can play a big part, because too many times, and I know, Wade, you've mentioned this as well, the announcers will applaud the heels for their ingenuity in being able to win by any means necessary, being able to keep their titles. Now, if you had heels decrying the methods Becky was using to keep her title, then I think WWE would be more successful at getting her over as a heel, because, you know, those announcers would be speaking to the millions of fans watching at home, and they would say, hey, you know, these guys are right. Becky is taking the coward's way out, instead of saying, well, you know, that's smart on Becky. She managed to keep the title, and you know, that kind of language and that kind of style of the announcers really undercuts the heel's ability to get over as a heel. And so, yeah, WWE may be booking her in a little more of a traditional heel manner, but the announcers have to be on board with calling it that way too.
Yeah, and I mean, it sure seems like they want Becky to be booed, but it was, I mean, for people who didn't see SmackDown, the this was not ambiguous at the beginning of the match. I mean, the crowd was booing Charlotte and then really cheering Becky. But when Becky tries to leave with her belt or get intentionally counted out, there is some booing and some discontent. I don't know if those are people who are just Charlotte fans who are being really loud then, or if it's people who cheered Becky who are now booing her. It still feels like a lot of work to try to get the fans to react completely differently than they want to. I'm still not quite sure I know I'm not on board with it, but I'm not quite sure it's going to work no matter how hard they try. I think some fans are going to push back even harder, but in a way, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think, like, what could they do, Greg, besides this to get fans to boo Becky? Because it's not like there's a heel act on SmackDown. Like, with Roman, they get people to cheer Roman by having Seth and Dean vouch for him and hang out with him. So I don't know if there's an equivalent. I mean, does Becky join the Iconics? I mean, I still think they'd cheer Becky. Like, I'm just not sure that there's an escape, that there's a way for them to manipulate fans who really like Becky and also see what's happening to go along with something that they just really disagree with philosophically.
I know that Charlotte herself has come down hard on her father on TV, and I don't know physically what Rick can do, but the only thing I can think of is that if Rick's at Evolution, I know he's going to be next week on SmackDown Live with the Evolution group, but if he were to get involved somehow in the Charlotte Becky Lynch business and Becky Lynch like attacked Ric Flair or something like that, that's really about the only way I could see Becky getting booed, and that may just be for that night. I don't know if that would necessarily carry over to the ensuing weeks, but if you involved Charlotte's dad and Becky attacked him in some way, especially given his the frail nature that he's looked at coming out of his health scare and everything like that, that would put some heel heat on her.
Yeah, it would. I still think they'd cheer a week later. I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if it would just be for that week or if it would continue on. But
yeah. All right, let's take one more call here, then we'll break. 814, you're up last here on our caller list. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Hey, Ryan.
Question on Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
He was he stopped the match, and he sort of built some sympathy for himself. Did you book him maybe turning babyface, because it's sort of rare for a heel, and they had to play through that and have the ref stop the match so I could maybe picture them leading in the next month or so or two, leading to a turn in there?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it crossed my mind, too, watching that play out. When we look at the roster right now, they got AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, the return of Jeff Hardy, and Rusev, now newly turned babyface, and Rey Mysterio coming back next week. That's five good top babyfaces right now who are you know, relatively healthy and active. I mean, Jeff Hardy's got a lot of wear and tear, but otherwise, that's five top babyfaces. So then how about the heel side? I don't know. Is Shelton Benjamin a heel or a face or just a guy?
He seems to be just a guy for now. Yeah. I think he's a heel.
Yeah, I have him on the heel side too, but it's like he's not really being heelish, but he's just a guy. But anyway, on the heel side, you got Samoa Joe, Randy Orton, Shinsuke Nakamura, Miz, and Andrade Cien Almas. And then Aiden English and Shelton Benjamin, you know, who aren't like main event guys at this point. Heck, Andrade's not, and Shinsuke's kind of gone through everybody. I don't know that the heel side can afford to lose Joe because if you take Joe away, now you actually have two stacked of a top babyface side with six top-tier babyfaces and, you know, a grand total of five heels, if we don't count Kurt Hawkins. You know, so to me, that just makes me think Samoa Joe staying heel. Greg, did it cross your mind at all that in a week of turns that might be on Vince's mind or Brian James's mind?
It didn't, but Samoa Joe in the follow-up to what happened in Australia was one of the things that I was really intrigued about coming into this show. Like I said, I fully expected him to win the title in Australia. Not only did he not win the title, he tapped out in the middle of the ring to AJ Styles to basically end that feud. Yeah. And that was a big surprise to me. So I wanted to see what was next in the chapter of Samoa Joe's career here on SmackDown. And they kind of put him with pretty little fanfare in this World Cup against Jeff Hardy. Again, he was somebody who I think was helped by those video packages that were shown before each match, the little snippets of the wrestlers just to kind of focus their character a little bit for the people watching at home. And the knee injury gave him an out to lose to Jeff Hardy. I don't know. I really don't know where they go with Joe from here. I don't know if he maybe takes some time off to get re-energized and come back in the scene. He's certainly not a guy who you want hanging around the mid-card. I think he's shown that he's above that, and he's way better than that. So if you don't have him in something important, I don't know what you do. Maybe his next feud is with Rey Mysterio. I don't know what kind of schedule Ray's going to have, but he is going to come back next week, and he's a big enough name who will be in a prominent enough position when he is on SmackDown that would seem to be a fit for Samoa Joe, and I think their matches would be interesting. You're taking two big names from a little bit of different generations there and matching them up. So I don't know if that counts as a dream match necessarily, but it's one that I think people would look forward to. So but, you know, this knee thing tonight, you know, you wonder if that's going to be a storyline that lingers and maybe keeps him off TV for a little while.
All right, Greg, we will end our caller portion of the show there, and we'll come back with our on-site correspondent. He just watched the dark match of Miz against Daniel Bryan. That was a dark match on SmackDown. So we'll get a report from Michael on that in just a moment, and also hear about what it was like to be in the building for all of SmackDown tonight, including mixed match challenge matches that were taped afterwards. So we'll be back after this with our on-site correspondent, and then email coming up later. So if we didn't get to your call, email us, WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. On the Thursday flagship this week, over on our blue brand, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast. This is the post show on the podcast brand, the blue brand. Johnny Fairplay joins me for the flagship. We're going to talk about Bound for Glory, the Austin Aries, John Morrison, Johnny Impact main event, the little or substantial Twitter verbal battle between Aries and Johnny this week that, or I guess last week now, technically, a few days ago, that got a little out of hand, a little personal. So we'll talk about that with him, and also how Johnny is doing on Survivor so far. I've been watching the show, and he seems like, by not focusing a lot on him, it indicates he's going to be around for a while. They're not really setting up possible vote-offs for him. He's obviously very valuable in this part of the team-based aspect. The target will be on his back when they get to individual after the tribes merge. So we'll talk to Johnny about how, or talk to Johnny Fairplay about how John Morrison, Johnny Impact is doing on Survivor also. Plus, all topics are on the table. So join us on later this week and listen, but you can also contribute your email questions about anything that we've talked about on the post shows this week. After Raw and after SmackDown, we can talk about upcoming big events, Evolution, Crown Jewel, and Bound for Glory, and really all topics are on the table. So email WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. All right, we are now joined by our on-site correspondent, Mike, from Indianapolis, Indiana, who attended SmackDown tonight. Mike, you're from the Indianapolis proper, or did you drive in for the show?
Actually, I'm here kind of on business, so I travel around a lot in the Midwest and try to schedule my trips accordingly that line up with wrestling events when I can. So I'm actually kind of, I live sort of in the area, but I'm originally from Chicago.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a cool deal to have a job where you can schedule our own wrestling events. You can double up. That's good work.
So, do what I can, you know.
Hey, why not? So yeah. What was your give us a sense of what the crowd was like, both in terms of how full the building was. I know we were emailing about that earlier, and then also their just enthusiasm level start to finish.
Yeah, I mean, pretty packed house. I think except for just like the top level on the hard cam side, just that last section was kind of tarped off, but everything else was pretty much full up. I was kind of impressed because I've been to a couple of SmackDown shows and usually not the case. So, really excited crowd, much more different from the jaded Chicago crowd I kind of grew up on. So much more family friendly, lots of kids, lots of families. I mean, overall really positive atmosphere. It was actually kind of cool to be a part of that for once, as opposed to Smart Marks and all the other fun, like-minded individuals.
How far apart are Chicago and Indianapolis? How many hours?
3 hours, three and a half, depending on where you know, how fast you want to go.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting how different crowds can be in two cities like that close. All right, well, cool. So was there a warm-up match before SmackDown went live?
Yeah, 205 Live.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, that was, you had, what was it, Tony Nese and Well, it started actually, you know, Lio Rush came out first, cutting a promo saying, hey, open challenge, et cetera. And he got a chorus of boos because apparently now he's a bad guy. And Lince Dorado came out to answer the challenge. And, you know, they went back and forth. But then we had the emergence of Mike Kanellis showed up out of kind of nowhere and jumped Lince Dorado at the end of the match. And it went to like kind of schmoz finish. And you had Mike and Maria doing their thing in the middle of the ring. So that was kind of unexpected.
That is weird. I did not call that ahead of time.
No, not at all.
What was there a finish in the match with Lince and Lio, or did the interference just make it a no contest?
Interference. It was a no contest. That was the end of it.
Yeah.
And then, he was beating up Lince Dorado, left Lio alone, and Lio just kind of snuck out. So.
And then you mentioned Tony Nese. Any other matches?
Yeah. Tony Nese won against Cedric, and Tony Nese won, and I'm pretty sure he won clean.
Wow.
Not entirely sure. There was a cotton candy incident in front of me, so I couldn't quite exactly see, but he won, and I was kind of surprised by that. But the crowd was actually pretty into kind of both matches, so it was kind of surprising. You know, there were lots of cheers for Cedric, so I was happy to see it.
I do have to say, if I'm ever involved in an incident, if it's a cotton candy incident, I feel pretty lucky. That seems like the safest incident one could possibly be involved in. It might get a little sticky. It might be a sticky situation.
Yeah. I mean,
but hardly dangerous.
Lots of blue cotton candy going around, and, you know, the guy was making lots of sales right in front of my face, so I couldn't see anything. So.
All right, cool. So then what else happened on 205 Live? More than that?
That was it.
Oh, wow.
Two matches. I mean, they went on pretty long. I mean, there's probably 40 minutes between the two matches, so.
Wow. Cool. All right. So then, were you surprised that Becky and Charlotte started off the show with a women's title rematch?
Well, I would have been surprised, but they did send out an alert or something on the phone, so everyone knew what was going on. So,
did they tell you, get here fast, get here right away?
I don't know. See, what's interesting is, I got an email saying, oh, by the way, the start time moved to 7:30 because they record 205 Live beforehand. But everything, the tickets say 2:45, the advertising in the city says, 7:45, everything says 7:45. So at 7:30 when the show started, no one was in the arena.
Oh, wow.
So by the end of, as 205 kind of is filling out, the stadium's filling out. So by the time the show started and everyone was ready to go. But
205 can't catch a break, can they? Like, first everyone's leaving after SmackDown, and now nobody's even there yet. They just can't. They just need to wedge it in the middle of SmackDown and figure out a way to make that work.
I think, honestly, if they actually advertise the fact, hey, we're going to tape 205 Live starting at 7:30, show up, people will be there and people will get excited because, I mean, usually the first match of the night, those guys are getting pops no matter what, but no one was there because no one was expecting it to start until 7:45 unless you read that email.
So we had Becky and Charlotte talk about the crowd reaction for each coming out. The TV event, by the way, just started with Becky's music fading and both already in the ring. So we did not hear.
Oh, okay.
And I don't. Okay. I was kind of thinking, oh, that's a production change. They want to start off the match right away. I wonder if it was to avoid what you might be about to describe to us, making TV.
No, actually, this is what surprised me. So we get Charlotte's music first. Charlotte comes out, I mean, huge pop. Everyone's cheering for Charlotte, lots of applause and everything like that. Then Becky's music hits, and it's just, times 10. Not times 10, probably double as loud. Lots of cheers, and they're both playing to the crowd, who's getting the louder cheers and whatnot. And then when they did the actual introduction for the match, then it's a chorus of boos for Charlotte. And then throughout the match, it's a chorus of boos for Charlotte. But the initial introduction of here she is was lots of cheers, but then when you juxtapose it with Becky is when the boos come in.
So did that change during the match and especially at the end of the match when Becky looked like she was trying to get away with getting counted out as a technical way to keep her title?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. Like, people kind of, I don't know if they were booing the idea of, oh, she's walking out with the title, or just because we know we should boo. People were still cheering Becky. They're just booing at that moment, which was odd. But, I don't know.
Yeah, booing the booking. It's a new thing in 2018.
Yeah, boo the booking. Boo the woo, boo the booking, boo whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, just don't boo Becky.
Were people just into the match in general, though? I mean, did it hold their interest? It was pretty long women's match.
It was. Everyone was into everything. I mean, the crowd really didn't get lost too terribly much at all in anything, you know, until Shelton came out, you know. Other than that, everybody was into everything.
Yeah. Poor Shelton. Greg, chime in with your question for...
Yeah, I guess my question would be on the finish of the match, the double count out and then the spear by Charlotte of Becky through the Tron. How upset did you get a sense that people were that there was no finish? And do you think that the big spot with them taking out the Tron made up for that in the crowd's eyes, made up for the non-finish of the match, the count out finish?
Actually, I don't think anyone was really mad about the finish. What was interesting is... after they went dark, because you could tell they went dark, after they went through the Tron and everything like that, they cut the commercial, they got a standing ovation. So everyone was, you know, everyone loved the match. I mean, the finish, no one expected a clean finish, I don't think. So, because you knew the match is just, the feud's still going on and, you know, go to the pay-per-view and whatnot. So I think people viewed it as they expected some sort of schmoz finish and, you know, hey, cool, they went through a Tron. That's awesome, you know? So everyone was pretty pleased with everything.
All right, cool. So then we had Jeff Hardy and Samoa Joe. Talk about the reactions both guys got and how the match played out.
You know, Jeff got a nice little nostalgia pop. A lot of people were really excited to see Jeff Hardy, you know, and do the delete chants and all the like. And Joe gets his chorus of boos, but it's like a respectful boo, you know. I mean, the one thing I could say is like, I don't know. It's just weird. Like Joe has like a presence about him. Like he controls the ring. He controls the crowd with his movements and stuff. It's very kind of impressive to see in person. But yeah, I mean, both guys got really good reactions. I was pleasantly surprised by Jeff Hardy's reaction. Not that I don't know why he wouldn't, but you know, I guess this is more of a family friendly, lots of kids in face paint kind of town. So, you know, it was, kid friendly.
Maybe one of the certainly an anchor segment and maybe the most memorable segment of the show was Miz TV with AJ and Brian going back and forth and Miz egging them on. It's a long talking segment. I sensed the crowd was very into it start to finish and enjoyed Miz's role in it and just liked Danny Bryan and AJ and felt it was an important segment. Tell me how it was like in the building.
Yeah, I mean, it was just what you described. I mean, Miz, like his music hit, I'm assuming they were at commercial when he came out. But his music hit, and it was the loudest pop of the night with Miz's original, like, when people, oh, Miz is coming out, like, huge cheers, wow. And then nothing but boos, you know. Miz is a star. I mean, that's what came across there. He just controlled everything. And AJ and Brian, you know, they got good reactions, but it wasn't as loud as the Miz's reaction, you know. So, and just the whole segment, though, it was a good time, and you could tell, everyone was just having fun with the whole thing, and because they're having fun, we're having fun, and everybody has fun.
And boy, did he make that red suit work.
Oh, yeah. It's very vibrant up close, too, I can tell you.
I think the next wedding, I want to get a suit like that. I want to see how that goes. I want to steal the show. You know, walk in and have everyone go, look at Wade. What's he doing?
Yeah, look at Wade.
Yeah. All right. I don't really have anything else to add about that segment. Greg, anything you want to ask Mike about this?
I guess this may be a little bit of an unfair question, but who did you sense was more popular in the building, Daniel Bryan or AJ Styles?
Ooh, good
Daniel Bryan. Yeah, okay. Daniel Bryan's more popular in the building. I mean, with, like, the cheers from the crowd. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, lots of little kids. I mean, almost every little kid, every other kid I saw, you know, with AJ gloves on and AJ shirts and, you know, so I mean, it's just more of a, I think the cheers were louder just because of, you know, the more adult male demographic cheering for Daniel Bryan compared to AJ.
And then Shelton Benjamin, you kind of teased a little earlier that maybe Shelton did not get a top three pop of the night.
Yeah, no, his music kind of hit and then everyone sat down. That's pretty much what happened.
Wow.
And it wasn't until maybe halfway through the match, you know, that the crowd kind of came back to life. I think when AJ did some sort of dive and then everyone kind of popped up for it and then was kind of a wait for the finish and, oh, it's over. Great. Yay. AJ won, you know, and that was kind of that.
it was sort of there as a backdrop for Daniel Bryan and Miz to bicker on commentary because they joined the announcers at ringside.
Yeah,
so.
That's what I heard. My wife was texting me. She said, oh, my God, these guys are hilarious.
Yes.
What's going on? She's like, you'll just have to watch it. But lots of innuendo that I look forward to. So.
Oh, yeah, the two-minute thing continued. Yeah. The line of the night was Graves going, 2 minutes. I think that's above the national average. So that's how that all ended.
Excellent.
So Aiden English revealed, or revealed a little more voluntarily, and then against his will, he was hacked, and the rest of the video aired. How did that segment work in the building?
You know, everyone bought in. Everyone knew exactly what was coming, but no one cared. We were just there to have fun. So, I mean, it was kind of nice. It wasn't this roll your eyes, this is stupid. It was kind of like, Oh, yeah, that's what we thought was going to happen. Ha, 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 everybody point and laugh. Everyone knew what was going to happen, and no one cared. We were all in on the joke, and it was just fun.
Did it seem that the families were liking it as much as anybody?
Yeah, I mean, I would say probably 65-70%, like, you know, families. You know, I was one of the weird guys there by myself, you know?
Well, you're traveling
the other guys
salesman, or traveling
businessman.
Yeah, I'm
a traveling salesman, but, you know, then we have the guys with their championship belts. So, I mean, it was me and them hanging out, and then the parents who were there with their kids. So, I mean, I got the sense, you know, that everyone was just having a good time. And even, like, people I knew who, I talked to some parents there who, they didn't watch the show, they were just there with their kids, but they just thought it was great. You know, they figured out what it was, and they just got it, you know? So, I mean, it was nice. Nice for a change.
What kind of reaction did Big Show get, and did Randy Orton get a legacy pop or heel booze?
Randy Orton got a big pop. Big Show, actually, he might have displaced Miz for pop of the night. Everyone was super excited to see Big Show. It was which is a little crazy. But I hadn't seen him forever, so I mean it was very cool. But everyone was very excited to see Big Show, and he played it up to the crowd. I don't know if they go to commercial during the match.
Yes, about I don't know, like 8 seconds into it, it felt like.
Oh, okay, that explains. Lots of playing to the crowd, lots of yucking it up, and like I don't know, it was Big Show was hilarious, and he was cracking Corey up on commentary by making dumb faces. I mean, like I don't know, it was everyone was just. He was having fun, and I don't know. Again, it was one of those things where the guys in the ring are having fun, and the crowd realizes that that's what they're doing, and we had fun too.
All right, Greg, anything else you want to ask, Mike?
What was your overall take on the crowd? You mentioned that they had a lot of fun tonight. Did it seem like there were a lot of strong reactions, or did it seem like they were just kind of sitting there watching, taking it in? I know you mentioned some of the parents were there who didn't necessarily watch the show, so maybe they weren't as vocally invested as other crowds might be. Did you think it was a loud, boisterous crowd?
No, I mean, it wasn't an overly loud crowd. I mean, I've been to I don't know how many shows at the Rosemont, you know, and it's just one of those ones where, you know, sometimes you just can't hear the guy next to you. This wasn't any situation like that, but I mean, people were cheering, but they weren't going nuts. You know, everyone was having a good time, but no one was just losing their mind with excitement either. So,
So let's jump ahead to the dark match, and we'll talk about mixed match challenge. But how many people stuck around for the dark main event and talk about how that went? How long it went? Was it good? Crowd stick around? All that stuff.
Yeah, so almost everybody stuck around. I guess they went straight into mixed match challenge, and it was, and almost everyone stuck around. I guess less than 100 people left. I mean, even to the end of the main event, which was, you know, a full, almost an hour after the fact, there's two mixed match challenge matches and then the dark main, and almost everyone was still there. People were kind of standing in the aisles, not wanting to leave. But both mixed match challenge matches were, you know, actually quite entertaining. I'd never really watched the show. But they're just, you know, being silly and there's a theme, overall theme of having fun in this whole thing. But they weren't taking themselves seriously. It seems to exist in a different universe. And, so you had your two favorite people, Bailey and Finn, you know, unfortunately, they took the loss to Big Ron and Ember Moon. But that went well. But they were being especially annoying just for you, Wade. And
how did the crowd react to them? I mean,
they loved them. Yeah. I mean, it was great. You know, I've taken to calling them the platonic lovers.
Yes.
But you know, because at times it looks like they're, you know, are they just friends? Are they really? I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, no, I mean, the crowd went nuts for those guys.
I just know they don't have any other friends. I just know they have no other friends left because no one wants to hang around to them.
The schmoopy whoopies and whatnot.
Yes.
So, yeah. But yeah, Braun was, of course, 100% face because why not? And then after that, we had AJ and Charlotte took on Carmella and R-Truth, which turned into basically 15 minutes of a dance party.
Okay.
So it was just dancing, and then more dancing. AJ doing the worm, everyone trying to do the splits, AJ not doing the splits, et cetera. You know, it was lots of laughs. And then that wound up, that was over. AJ pinned R-Truth at the end. And then we had the main dark match of Miz versus Daniel Bryan, which was about 25 minutes of them just going back and forth on a microphone about Cleveland sucking and Indianapolis not sucking and Indianapolis sucking and Andrew Luck is a terrible human being, et cetera. Miz is great. Daniel Bryan's great. We got Mr. Small Package references. I mean, it was amazing. Everyone was just having a good time. Then they finally they hugged it out in the middle of the ring. It was great. And then they ended up actually having a quick match, which ended relatively quickly. A couple of yes kicks, you know, the knee to the face or drop kick to the face or whatever, the flying knee. And then, of course, he hit him with a small package, 1, 2, 3. That was the end of the show.
Cool. Sounds like you had a good experience.
And I did.
Got to see a good SmackDown. Yeah. A good Friday. I mean, 205 Live, a good diverse mix on SmackDown. Seems like an entertaining mixed match challenge and a satisfying dark main event.
Yeah, I got to say, probably one more most fun I've had really at a WWE event in a long time. You know, especially going by myself, which is kind of, I don't know, odd among it in itself. So, it was good. It was good. I'm glad I went.
Now, they advertised AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, and Jeff Hardy against The Miz, Samoa Joe, and Randy Orton. They basically broke that up into singles matches, with AJ. Well, let's see, Bryan and Miz in the dark match, and then Hardy and Joe, and then they gave Randy and Big Show away, which is kind of solid. And then AJ and the mixed match challenge. So I don't think too many people would be upset about that. And then they advertised Becky against Charlotte. They did also on the website, on the local website, advertise Shinsuke and New Day, and it sounds like neither of them were there at all.
Yeah, no, neither of them were there at all. Lots of disappointed New Day fans. There's lots of Pancake Power t-shirts out there.
So that's too bad, but I mean, they delivered on most of what they advertised, I guess. So that's a step up for them. Greg, anything else you want to ask Mike before we wrap up with him?
No, I think that about covers it. Sounds like a great time.
I will ask, what'd you pay for your ticket? I know I saw the picture, but describe where you sat and if you thought it was good value for the money.
Yeah, so I was actually third row ringside on the opposite hard cam. My ticket was just over $100 plus some fees, so it was like $130. And, definitely worth the money. I mean, the same seat at Allstate, probably $300-$400.
Yeah.
So best seats I've ever had for a WWE show, for sure.
Do you get to write – I don't want to get you in trouble with your tax guy or anything, or your IRS, but do you get to write anything off about this, at least the gas money?
I'm at a hotel here locally for a conference, so
yes.
That's covered. The gas money, the mileage to the conference covered. I had to eat, whether I ate at the arena or I ate at a restaurant. So that, you know, I got to expense that. What can you do?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. All right.
What can you do?
In the interest of self-preservation, I'll abstain from endorsing whatever you just said. I'm not a tax expert. I rely on experts for that stuff. Excellent. Mike, really appreciate your time. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You bet. You too.
Bye.
we are back for the mailbag section of the show. Greg, before we get to that, tell people a little bit more about Wrestling Night in America, the format, and what you talked about this past Sunday, and if you have anything special planned for this Sunday.
So Wrestling Night in America, pwtorchlivecast.com. It's the live cast every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we talk about the big events in pro wrestling. That's 8 p.m. Eastern on nights that there is not a major pay-per-view, because on nights that there is a WWE or Impact Wrestling pay-per-view, usually those are the only ones that take place on a Sunday night, we go on the air after that show taking your phone calls to discuss that particular pay-per-view, match by match, your thoughts, your opinions on the show, where they go from here, and all of that good stuff. So on nights that there are no pay-per-views, we talk, again, the big events in pro wrestling this past week. As I mentioned before, we had PWTorch.com contributor Mike McMahon on the show. He's sort of the Impact expert at the Torch, and it was only appropriate that we had him on the show a week before Impact's biggest show of the year, Bound for Glory. We spent a lot of time talking about that show coming up match by match. We previewed each bout set for the card this coming Sunday. We also broke down Super Showdown match by match. So we talked about what we thought of the matches, what we thought of the booking, where things might go from there. So any of the big shows that are coming up or that have just happened, we break down piece by piece on Wrestling Night in America. This coming Sunday night on Wrestling Night in America, since it is Bound for Glory night, I've ceded controls of Wrestling Night in America to our Impact friends at pwtorch.com. That is Mike McMahon and Andrew Socek, who do the post-Impact Thursday night live cast. They will also be doing the post-Bound for Glory Sunday night live cast, Wrestling Night in America. So they will be taking your calls after Bound for Glory goes off the air, talking in-depth about that pay-per-view this Sunday night on Wrestling Night in America.
Excellent. So search PW Torch or Pro Wrestling Torch. Try them both. One of them will bring up the PW Torch livecast logo. And subscribe for free. Get those 7 shows throughout the week, including here in Greg Parks every Sunday night, except this Sunday. All right. Let's go to our mailbag here. Kevin D. from Hamilton, New Jersey. Did you know the WWE World Cup was to determine the best in the world? Not just tune into any 5-minute stretch of SmackDown tonight, and you'll hear it 23 times. Good Lord. No question here. Just flat-out exhaustion of being reminded 832 times that this is to determine the best in the world. VIP was birthed to rip on Overkill like this. Thanks, Kevin. It'd be nice if the tournament had a little bit more of an identity than something, you know, people don't really believe, which is, you know, it's to determine the best in the world, because you have to enter the U.S. and the IC and the world and the Universal Champ to even come close to staking a claim to that, even if you're just talking about the WWE roster. I wish that they came up with something a little more original, a little more specific to what the World Cup meant. I don't know that you want to do another guaranteed a title shot type thing. Saying the best in the world, to determine the best in the world, does sort of set the bar so high that people start thinking about how, well, no, that's not what it is, instead of just saying, hey, it's for a trophy and it's for pride.
This sounds like something cooked up in 5 minutes in a booking meeting. I mean, yeah. That's how much thought seems like has gone into something like this. And it seems like they want to make the Saudi Arabia shows special by having themes to them. The first was the Greatest Royal Rumble. This is the World Cup. So, you know, they want these shows to stand out with a theme. But, you know, the obvious plot hole, which you pointed out, is if the champions of the brands are not involved in it, how can you truly say this is the best in the world? Not to mention, The World Cup generally takes wrestlers from all over the world. And, you know, the first two qualifying matches had 4 American wrestlers this week. And the ones that were named on Raw with John Cena and Kurt Angle as a conquistador winning the Battle Royal over Baron Corbin, they're both American too. And I know Rey Mysterio is going to be fighting next week in a World Cup qualifying match. But it kind of makes a mockery of the whole term World Cup when – so far, at least, there's, you know, it's full of American wrestlers. I think Impact, when they did their World Cup back in, oh gosh, years ago, I think they handled it better than WWE has so far. And granted, we're only an episode of Raw and an episode of SmackDown into this thing, but it's not off to a promising start.
The rest of the world had their chance, Greg, and Baron Corbin proved he's better than all of them, except for Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle, as now, will he be representing America in the World Cup? That's a good question. Will he be represented as a conquistador? If
this weren't Saudi Arabia, I would think Kurt Angle would come out as a conquistador to the conquistador's old music, and it would get the biggest pop of the night. I don't think that's what the Saudi prince, who wants Kurt Angle to be on his show, is wanting on his Fantasy Camp Wrestling show. I think he wants the Kurt Angle music and the You Suck chant. So I think we'll get the authentic, unmasked Kurt Angle.
Yeah, probably for the best.
Somebody on Twitter, Evan ranting, the World Cup is determined the best in the world. 6? Have I lost my mind? Isn't the champion supposed to be the best in the world? Maybe AJ and Reigns would resolve this. It's so bad and embarrassing, I don't know what to think. Just ignore it? ! I don't have an answer for you, Evan, but we share your outrage. Okay, another question on this. Zach from Indiana. I have a complaint about the qualification system for this World Cup tournament. Before I get to that, I find it strange that half the field is American. Not much of the world would be represented in the World Cup. Maybe they're doing it like a Little League World Series. One side of the bracket's from the United States, and the other side is the world. Anyway, my complaint is about Randy Orton and Joe. Actually, the other half should just be filled up with like Okada and Tanahashi, and like bring some big name from Japan out of retirement, like, you know, because they're doing it for, like, there could be a Japanese wrestling fan in Saudi Arabia, and the other half will be filled with, like, you know, Jushin Liger, Great Muda, you know, like stars from
his childhood. We've seen nothing. You know, these are only qualifying matches. We've seen nothing in the way of brackets. I don't think it's even been said how many wrestlers are going to be involved
in this
tournament. So, you know, we could be just getting started here.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe there's an FMW bracket and that Tsushi Onito make his return. Who knows? All right. So he says, anyway, my complaint is about Randy Orton and John Cena. Why does John Cena automatically qualify for this World Cup tournament, but Randy Orton doesn't? Because John Cena's in China. No, never mind. Both have over a dozen world title reigns, and Randy's been champion more recently than John Cena, even if only by a few months. While both had short recent reigns, John Cena's only lasted 2 weeks, and Randy's was about a month and a half. The fact that they just said he qualifies automatically bothered me because it makes no sense. The seven others, I assume, will have to fight their way into the tournament, so why is he so special? It isn't like he's been around to show he deserves it on recent success. Just curious if you guys were annoyed by that or not, too. I'm sending this even before seeing if Randy qualifies, but regardless of that outcome, my question remains the same. I just wish they could bother to explain themselves. Thanks, Wade. Oh, almost forgot. Everyone, go VIP. Thank you, Zach from Indiana, very much. Greg, yeah, I mean, like, obviously John Cena is a bigger star than Randy Orton in WWE history, but that's about drawing power and push and being more famous. But, I mean, really, from a qualification standpoint, Zach makes a hell of a case that Randy Orton deserves that spot more than John Cena.
And it is kind of odd, even from a storyline point of view, who would grant him that spot automatically in the tournament? Baron Corbin on Raw? Like, I don't – who would be in charge enough to do that? And Corbin, as a heel, you wouldn't think he would just let John Cena, the babyface, get a free pass into this tournament. But – I think, you know, again, part of this goes back to my this was cooked up in 5 minutes in a booking meeting kind of theory about how this whole thing has been set up. But the other thing is, if you want to dig a little deeper, it's symptomatic of WWE's attitude about their top babyfaces. And it's one of the reasons fans have been so resistant to accepting Roman Reigns is this attitude of the booking that, you know, John Cena is a big star, so he gets a free pass. And what are fans supposed to think about that? Like, you know, there's no mountain for him to overcome. There's nothing like that. And that's been the problem in the Roman Reigns booking, too, is it feels like everything has been handed to him. And for whatever reason, WWE doesn't seem to get that when they're booking these top babyface stars like Cena. And, you know, before Reigns, the fans were really resistant to Cena as well for some of these same reasons. And it's trickled down now to Roman Reigns and the feeling that Roman Reigns is entitled. And not only because of the booking, but the attitude he gives off in his interview. So part of the blame is on him.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's this free pass attitude that WWE has with their baby faces that I think is why it's been so hard to get the Cenas and the Reigns over as top guys and be accepted by 100% of the fan base over the last decade.
I think that's a great point. And WWE does sometimes seem unaware of it. This really could just be a logistical situation, and WWE would not have done that otherwise, although they have granted Cena preferential treatment before. So, you know, with the free agent status. Yeah. If they ever do another Randy Cena match, maybe the Saudi Prince loves the John Cena Randy Orton classics from back in the day. Can't believe I'm saying back in the day regarding Cena and Orton, but it is qualifies as that now. Maybe we'll finally see another Cena Orton match.
I can't believe how many times we've referenced what the Saudi Prince wants in his booking. Who knew we'd have to worry about that 5 years ago?
Hey, you get rich enough, you get to buy your own show and broadcast it on WWE Network.
Yes.
Okay, Dave from Holyoke, Massachusetts. I'm watching Styles versus Benjamin and listening to Miz and Bryan on commentary, and it made me think about the scripted promos. I do kind of understand why they do it, and some guys probably need it. However, some guys sound so much better without it, as evidenced by Bryan on commentary and on Talking Smack. I wish they'd try to at least let the top guys do it more. Did they have bullet points in the Attitude Era, or was it mostly improv? Also, did I hear Jason yesterday say you're a vegan, Wade? Awesome. I'm going on almost 3 years. Just another reason for me to think you're a great guy. Dave from Holyoke, Mass. Yes, I'm a virtually 100% vegan, except for some wild, sustainably caught fish in a pinch, going on like 11 or 12 years. So, yes. So good for you, too. All right, Greg, I don't know if everyone's going to be as engaging as Daniel Bryan is. Without a script, but those who are, I think, should be given more latitude. I mean, Talking Smack and color commentary, it is so good. My hunch is some of Miz and Bryan is winged anyways, because I mean, there's certain things you just can't, if you script them, it's going to sound so scripted because people know what their real voice is.
Yeah. I agree with that. Daniel Bryan and the Miz are just such good foils for each other. You know, they really deserve like a show on the WWE Network or something where they're like oddball roommates or, you know, buddy cops who don't get along or something, you know, one of those television tropes to put them together and just see what kind of hijinks they get into. I mean, I would watch that, and I probably wouldn't watch the WWE wrestlers in any other situation outside of the WWE universe. But these two guys, when you hear them on commentary, when you see them go at it on Talking Smack, when you see them go at it on Miz TV, it's like they were born to be at each other's throats. And so, yeah, I'm sure they have bullet points when they go on commentary to hit, and probably more so on Miz TV as well. I'm sure there are wrestlers that are very tightly scripted, and I'm sure there are wrestlers that WWE trusts to maybe not script as tightly. But, you know, this is something we've been preaching for years. You know, it would be nice to have everybody get those bullet points and not have to tightly script everybody. So, like you said, the wrestlers could find their own voice and things like that. But, yeah, Miz and Bryan, it really feels too authentic for me to believe. Maybe I'm being naive, but it just feels too authentic to believe that what they're spouting every week is word for word scripted.
Yes. All right, VIP member John from Tennessee says, I'm so already over the Saudi Arabia show. First John Cena, then Kurt Angle. Now Jeff Hardy beats Samoa Joe to enter this World Cup. I really didn't want to believe the Saudi Arabian government was controlling WWE booking for this month, but this upcoming show proves it, with the late 90s, early 2000 wrestlers hogging the show. This sucks. I'll check back in mid-November. So some more emails about – he didn't mention Saudi Prince, just the government. But
yeah.
Anyway. All right. Hey, Wade and Greg. So was the theme of tonight's SmackDown to test the fans' memories? A first ever Last Woman Standing match? Nikki Cross and Asuka had one of those in NXT. Side note, even though it's not the first ever one, I still can't wait for that since I'll be at Evolution. Daniel Bryan never faced a phenomenal opponent, so the match that AJ and Bryan had on SmackDown after WrestleMania doesn't count, just because Nakamura got involved. Becky tossed the friendship away, but Charlotte tossed it away first. Charlotte stayed on top by being the best, not with help from her dad and Dana Brooke. I can understand WWE overlooking the NXT thing, because there are fewer viewers there than on SmackDown, but really, the rest all happened on WWE programming, and some of us do remember these things. Paul L. from Ridge, New York. P.S. Since Undertaker's on next week, I can toss this out. I finished watching Super Showdown this morning. All I can say is MLW did a much better battle of 50-year-olds. Greg, your thoughts on WWE not playing fast and loose with their facts here?
I am a big stickler for continuity, probably to the point that I prefer continuity, even if it weakens other parts of the storytelling. But even I think that some of these points are reaching a little bit. Like, I get it, and I like that he brought up that NXT isn't necessarily canon for WWE matches. But when you have 52 weeks of television a year, when you have 5 hours plus, and that's just Raw and SmackDown, 5 hours of TV a week to keep track of, it really starts to become – I mean, if you wanted continuity from the very beginning of a character to the end, there you would not have any stories you'd be able to tell, because you'd be – there would be – you know, they're on TV every week. Their stories are all twisted and tangled up into each other. You have to have some leeway in some fashion as far as continuity goes to tell the story of the character in the now. And, you know, Charlotte getting to the top, she's a babyface now. You can't just say, well, you know, I may have gotten to the top before with the help of others, but now I'm a babyface and now I'm, you know, completely different than that until the next time she's a heel anyway. Because we know that wrestlers go back between heel and face some more often than others, but, you know, quite a few times. So I guess I'm willing to look the other way on some of the smaller stuff. It's the big stuff that I guess really bothers me at this point, just because WWE is, as we've noted before, they are about churning out content. And there's only so much continuity that you can keep track of in all the content that they're putting out.
Another email on Charlotte and Becky. Zach in Texas says both Charlotte and Becky brought it in their women's title match. I almost felt for Jeff and Joe having to follow them. The bridging hammerlock Becky locked on Charlotte was a thing of beauty. It sounded to me like the crowd was pretty clearly on Becky's side, and at one point tried to outshout the contingent of Charlotte fans. Perhaps some of them saw the promo she cut that was posted online in which she was straight anti-establishment babyface. My questions are, do you think it helps or further hinders Charlotte, seeing as she was the aggressor in the post-match brawl and put Becky through the wall? And do you think their last woman standing match will main event Evolution? It's certainly the most intense rivalry they have going right now. I'm Team Becky all the way, right? I'm Team Becky all the way, and I hashtag boo the woo, but I'm curious what you think. Greg, any chance anyone but Ronda Rousey headlines Evolution?
Yeah, this is kind of the same problem that AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan have, where the wrestlers coming from the past are kind of overshadowing a little bit, because, you know, even if Ronda Rousey, Nikki Bella doesn't main event, I think you can make a case that Trish and Lita against Mickey and Alexa would even main event over Charlotte and Becky Lynch. I think it's possible and it's deserved for them to main event Evolution, but yeah, I got to think Ronda Rousey and Nikki Bella are in the catbird seat right now for main eventing.
Yeah, I do too. But this is feeling like a good co-main event. You know, I think they did a nice job with it. Although, you know, I mean, I'll throw this email up from Andrew. Well, I think they finally did it. The title match finally got me to boo Becky and feel sympathy for Charlotte. I still think things might be better if the roles were reversed, but they finally taken the story in a direction I can get behind. I'm curious where this lands come Evolution. You know, where the crowd reaction is by then.
Yeah, there's still a lot of time between now and then. I think two or three episodes of SmackDown. So we'll see how WWE tweaks things from here, what their next step is after the big spot tonight. You know, I given that Becky had turned at SummerSlam and we're 2 months away from that, and large contingents of fans are still cheering Becky, I have a hard time believing that in 2 or 3 weeks they're going to be able to get those fans to change course and to boo Becky and cheer Charlotte heading into Evolution. But, you know, we'll see. This is going to be, you know, the third or fourth match now between these two, and we'll see what direction the story is headed and, you know, what they do to build up this last woman standing match. I think it's going to be really interesting over the next few weeks to see.
Greg, thank you very much. Good discussion. Good show to talk about tonight.
Absolutely. Pleasure to be on here with you, Wade, on the historic 999th episode of SmackDown.
Yes, it is. Social media, let people know how they can follow you if they haven't yet.
Yeah, you can follow me at Greg M. Parks on Twitter.
Excellent. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Wade.
Speaking of Twitter, follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller and follow our brand at PW Torch. And you can follow our sister brand at MMA Torch. Also on Facebook, you can follow our brand at facebook.com/PW Torch. And you can friend me on Facebook at facebook.com/WadeKellerTorch. Also on Instagram, you can follow us at PW Torch. Be sure to check out pwtorch.com. Over a dozen articles yesterday on the website. Real diverse mix of hard-hitting editorials, flashbacks, news updates, TV reports, previews of SmackDown and Raw every Monday afternoon and Tuesday afternoon, and much more. Check it out. Breaking news, live pay-per-view coverage, live TV coverage, all kinds of good stuff, including articles you will not find anywhere else. So no matter which websites you go to, be sure PW Torch is on that list. Bookmark us, create a home screen button, or keep a tab open for pwtorch.com. And also follow all the fallout from the Conor McGregor-Khabib fight and all those crazy happenings at UFC 229, pants being taken off. What a wild night overall. Certainly capped off with the shameful brawling and unruly happenings at the end. So keep up on all the fallout from that at our sister site, MMATorch.com. That's MMATorch.com. Mike Hisko back at the helm as managing editor of that site with more content coming up than ever. Also, you can email us if you're interested in contributing to MMATorch.com. In fact, just drop me a line. KellerWade@PWTorch.com. If you're interested in volunteering to help us out on MMATorch.com, round out our coverage, write some editorials, help out with match reports, match previews, or other areas where we're looking for some help to round out our coverage, that's KellerWade@PWTorch.com. If you're attending a future Raw or SmackDown and want to be an on-site correspondent like Mike was today, drop me a line at WadeKellerPodcast@PWTorch.com. That's WadeKellerPodcast@PWTorch.com. And just include the city and the date in the subject line of when you're attending a future Raw or SmackDown and let me know that you want to be on the air, and we may be in touch to line that up. And also, be sure you're checking out our sister site, pwpodcasts.com, with written recaps and reviews of pro wrestling personality-hosted podcasts. That's pwpodcasts.com. Also, as Greg mentioned, the PW Torch Livecast, now is a good time to do it. Click on the podcast app you're listening to right now and enter PW Torch or Pro Wrestling Torch, one of those two search entries, depending on the app you're using. We'll bring up the PW Torch Livecast logo, and you can click subscribe for free and get 7 shows on with seven different themes each week, covering ROH, NXT, Impact Wrestling, MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling Fans, The Deep Dive with Rich Fan, our Best of PW Torch Livecast on Fridays, where I handpick a big show from roughly 5 years ago. It's usually the pattern, but not always. And also Greg's Sunday Night Wrestling in America. So check that out, PW Torch or Pro Wrestling Torch. Search for that and subscribe and add some really cool podcasts to your podcast app listening schedule. That will do it for me for today. Until next time, in fact, over on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, our blue logo for the Thursday flagship with Johnny Fairplay. Until then, this is Wade Keller signing off. Thank you for downloading the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. Don't forget, you can get these shows with the ads and plugs and commercials all edited out on our special VIP audio feed with a VIP membership. That applies to all 4 shows that I host during the week, the Wade Keller Post Shows and podcasts later in the week, and also all 7 PW Torch livecasts, plus all of our VIP exclusive shows throughout the month. There's about 100 of them. I host about 12 per week that are VIP exclusive. The Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, post pay-per-view roundtables, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, and the Fix with Todd Martin. We got a bunch of other great content. Check out full details at pwtorchvipinfo.com. That's pwtorchvipinfo.com. Yes, all the VIP podcasts, including the ad-free versions of this show, are compatible with popular podcast apps on both iPhone and Android. You can also stream the shows right from our ad-free VIP website, which is mobile friendly and desktop friendly. So check out details if you want to support us and get these shows ad free and a ton of other VIP exclusive podcasts. That's pwtorchvipinfo.com for more details. We've got a mobile friendly sign up form. You can be VIP in about 2 minutes. Go for it. pwtorchvipinfo.com. If you shop at Amazon, I have a request. When you shop at Amazon, don't go to amazon.com. That sounds weird. How are you going to shop at Amazon if you don't go there? Well, don't go directly there. Start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. When you go there, there's a giant Amazon logo. Click on it. It takes you right to the Amazon homepage where you were heading anyways, but that small detour tells Amazon, we sent you there. And when they get that message, they send us a commission on everything that you buy. So it's a great way to support us without having to do anything different other than when you shop at Amazon, start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for your support.